And now for a bombastic ballad from the world of heavy metal. Stairway to Heaven is one of the most popular and parodied hard rock ballads. It was written by Robert Plant, who was the lead singer of Led Zeppelin. Plant almost invented heavy metal singing and has influenced countless performers. Led Zeppelin formed in 1968 and broke up in 1980. I spoke with Robert Plant last January.
There's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold, and she's buying the stairway to heaven. When she gets there, she knows if the stores are all closed, with a word she can get what she came.
Listen, I want to play something for you. I know you must be asked everywhere you go about the lyrics to Stairway to Heaven and what they mean and so on and so on. Did you ever hear the Tiny Tim version of it? I know everybody has their most like bizarre version they want to play for you, but do you know the Tiny Tim version?
I have a copy. In fact, I just chucked it away the other day when I was going through some stuff. I think my favorite version is Little Roger and the Goosebumps.
Oh, who were they?
Well, it was a record that It was built around the theme for Gilligan's Isle, the TV program. And our lawyer at the time in New York was absolutely furious that anybody should touch this song, this pinnacle of endeavor and artistic creativity with, you know. and I thought it was that and Hairway to Stephen. Which was by Deck Chairs Overboard, I think, an Australian punk band, is pretty good. There is also, while we're making sure that we keep the right temperature of reverence here for that piece of music, there was a TV show in Australia called The Money or the Gun, and every artist that went on there had to do a version of Stairway to Heaven. So I've got a video of 21 people. There's a fat Elvis doing it like Viva Las Vegas. There's a girls' choir who I could have given every inch of my love to if the times had been right. There's, an Italian guy cooking pizza. And the song deserved it.
What do you mean by that as its author?
Well, I mean, because of the pinnacle of and the beauty of the song, sooner or later that has to turn around and swing the other way, like My Way or God Save the Queen. You know, it gets, after a while, it's a great target for pointing a finger of a skeptical finger in the hoots of derision, and that's what happens. I think Tiny Tim was perhaps one of the more respectful versions.
Oh, it's a great, it's like the lounge version.
Absolutely, yeah.
The swing and lounge version. I'm just going to play a little bit of it for our listeners.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, here it is. It's Tiny Tim with a Brave Combo.
There's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. And when she gets there, she knows if the stars are closed, with a word she can get what she came for.
Whoa, 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 whoa. And she's buying a stairway to heaven.
So, you know, I'll confess to you that it wasn't until I heard Tiny Tim singing the song that I understood exactly what the lyrics were. And, you know, one of the lines is, if there's a bustle in your hedgerow, don't be alarmed now. It's just a sprig leaf from the May Queen.
A spring clean.
A spring clean.
But a spring clean.
Oh, a spring clean as in spring cleaning.
Yeah.
Oh. It's such a proper sounding line.
Well, sprig leaf sounds very suggestive. I can't imagine.
Well, but Maclean and hedgerow and bustle and alarmed, it's so...
It's onomatopoeic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What was going through your mind when you wrote this?
I was thinking about the need for a sort of more organic relationship between our generation at the time, who were living faster than fast, And our environment and the our times were very well, I suppose, harum scarum. And Stairway to Heaven developed as a piece of music that one evening with Jimmy and myself, and that kind of tone, that idiom about returning to nature to look for all the signs, to be aware of our environment yet again, by the way that the old people, the people from long ago, marshalled their days and marched to a different beat altogether. I thought it was an appropriate idiom to move into because of the sort of majesty of the chord movement.
My guest is Robert Plant, who was the lead singer of Led Zeppelin. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to our interview with Robert Plant. He was the lead singer of Led Zeppelin. Here's their 1969 hit, Whole Lotta Love. Zeppelin, my guest is singer Robert Plant. Anything you want to say about your singing on that track?
Well, I just, you know, as a very expressive time, I must say that I always would have liked to have thought that I could create a vocal syncopation and punctuation in as many different ways as possible. My voice is what it is. It's different now to how it was then, but it was punchy and it was joyous. And I guess, you know, my confidence was building by that time. I was 20 years old and I was really trying out all manner of different things. The effects of my childhood and my background, listening to Presley, listening to The Wolf, I tried to put them all into the songs that called for some kind of sexual innuendo or whatever it would be. It was partly blues, partly rock and roll, and it worked.
Well, you know, earlier you were saying that when you started recording you were shy, and by the time you're in Led Zeppelin you're singing about, you know, giving her every inch of your love. And so, you know, something had to happen to that shyness on stage. Can you talk about the transformation from, you know, the shy Robert Plant to the much more...
go
ahead.
The lyric just developed in the studio, which was a free-form ad-lib. We were talking earlier on about the ends of songs, mm-hmm. about the free-form aspects of it.
Yeah.
There is so much innuendo in the blues, and a lot of English musicians were very fired by Robert Johnson, who, to whom we all owe more or less our very existence, I guess. And the innuendo, whether it would be Terraplane Blues, where he was singing about the parallels between his woman and an automobile, or Traveling Riverside Blues, when he's mentioning the famous Squeeze My Lemon line.
Yes, which you made far more famous, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's all there. It's public domain.
Right, right.
The Lemon Song. It's all about the sort of barrel house, bawdy, juke joint aspects of Saturday night music. So I think I was probably still shy, but I was playing in to character, if you like, with these songs, because it was such, Whole Lotta Love was such a kind of funky, sexy piece of music at the time. It had a fantastic lope to it. And taking the original Willie Dixon lyric, you know, you need cooling. I ain't fooling. I mean, that whole idea, it's not talking about cookery lessons or gardening tips. So the whole thing was based on some kind of sexual innuendo, which I think at the age of 20 was okay.
Now, with Led Zeppelin, you were wailing over some pretty loud music.
Well, that's right. I had to wail. I had no choice, really. The equipment was pretty inferior in those days. And for PAs, the actual public address system at gigs was... I mean, I remember one night in Zeppelin, we played Columbus, Ohio, the university, with, I think, Jose Feliciano. And the PA was actually a cluster of speakers right up in the apex of the room. It was a circular building with the statutory 60s students sitting around, looking suitably astonished or vacant or whatever it was. And the PA was miles up in the air, and there was no chance on earth that the voice could project. Mm-hmm. So I did have to kick in a lot throughout those early days. I think it was not until about 1970 that Led Zeppelin actually purchased a PA, or rather, I purchased the PA because I was a singer. And then I made John Bonham pay some of it because he was the drummer. And we used two overhead microphones, a bass drum and a snare mic. So I said, well, you'd use four times more microphones than I do. As it happened, we reached an amicable solution as far as the cost of things.
How come you still have a voice after singing that loud for so long?
Oh, because it's all about dynamics. And it's also all about, with technique, the last thing in the world that you can do is just blast like crazy. You have to work your way into a tour as you work your way into an evening of singing. You have to take it steady to begin with, make sure that, if you can, that the introduction of the show is kind to you. That wasn't always the case in Led Zepp, but... I mean, I've been in dressing rooms with lots of musicians where the singers go into the toilet and start shrieking at the walls of the toilet, and it's very painful to the casual listener and onlooker, but they seem to think that psychologically is the answer, that it'll make them be much more warmed up when they go on stage. But I prefer Neil Young's way of doing it. You stand in a circle, and it's almost like sort of a kind of cosmic barbershop warm-up where you go, and you do that for about half an hour and have a lie down.
Right, so you actually warm up. Okay.
I don't warm up, but he does, and that's a good way of doing it.
Oh, so you admire it but don't really do it yourself.
I haven't got time. I have a couple of hot cups of coffee, or a cup of tea, keep quiet, don't talk to anybody, sit in the dark for 5 minutes and then go.
Robert Plant recorded last winter. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.